News Talk.
Now, my next guest is somebody who works in one of the coolest places in the world. Robert Lightfoot Jr. is NASA's acting administrator. He's here in Ireland to meet space researchers in Trinity College and University College Dublin. A very busy schedule, but he has popped into studio. Robert Lightfoot Jr., good morning.
Great to be here.
And welcome to Ireland, sir. There's so much I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to start with the biggie. I'm going to start with Mars. You have a plan. Lots of other people have other plans. When is it going to happen?
Well, right now we're working on trying to get there in the early 2030s with crew. We're building off of what we're doing on the International Space Station. We're using that to do the research on humans and the technologies we'll need to go further into space. Hopefully in the decade of the 2020s, we'll take those systems out in the area around the moon so we can kind of test them out, really give them a good testing before we embark onto the mission to Mars. And so that's what we're working on today with humans.
And that's very exciting because that's potentially going to happen in our lifetimes.
I sure hope so. That's my goal.
We have Elon Musk with SpaceX, Jeff Bezos with Blue Origin, yeah. Richard Branson at Virgin. Mm-hmm. Is it not a good idea for all you guys to work together?
Oh, we do work together. I think it's a very complementary activity. We believe there's a role for NASA as a government entity in terms of doing some of those things that are out there a little further and let the commercial industry like SpaceX and Blue and Virgin come in and complement what we're doing. We're using SpaceX today to get to the International Space Station with our cargo, and they're going to be flying our crew soon. So it's an exciting complementary activity between us. It's very exciting time to see industry stepping up the way they are.
The astronauts who are going to go on that mission are probably being born now. They are maybe a little bit older in what we would consider to be primary school. How are you going to tap into that excitement for them and to get that new generation excited in the space race that, you know, I had and you had with the shuttle that the previous generation had with the moon landing?
Yeah, well, I think we're already tapping into it, and I'll give you a great example. We just named the next class of astronauts. We picked 12 folks, just named them a couple of weeks ago. We had 18,000 people apply for those 12 jobs. And so there's an excitement to go do that. And I believe one of those people may be the one that goes to Mars, right? And the next generation will come in behind it. But our job in that case is to keep people inspired. And I think our missions inspire people. They bring people. It's a global impact, not just a U.S. impact with what we do. And I think part of my goal today is to be here in Ireland and meet with some of the students that are hopefully following in our footsteps to take up that mantle down the road.
And we have great projects in all of our universities. You're meeting Trinity and UCD mm-hmm. today. How important is that international collaboration in what you do? Because NASA is the U.S. agency. There's obviously the Chinese agency, the Russian agency. This needs to be a global effort.
It's absolutely a global effort. If you think of the International Space Station today, has 15 countries that are partners with us. We go through the European Space Agency, just like that's where Ireland brings in the part that they want to bring for space. It's got to be a global endeavor. I mean, if you think about what we're trying to do, we're talking about civilization-level impacts with the kind of science we do, the kind of human exploration we do. That civilization level is all of us, not just the U.S. It's an international thing. And our partners are involved with us on our science missions, our human missions already, and we're just going to continue that.
Stephen Hawking, of course, one of the leading experts in your field, was quoted this week, "Human colonization on other planets is no longer science fiction. It can be science fact. The human race has existed as a separate species for 2 million years. Civilization began 10,000 years ago. If humanity is to continue for another 1 million years, our future lies in boldly going where no one else has gone before." Deliberately paraphrasing Gene Roddenberry, I suspect there.
Absolutely.
How much importance should we put on that outpost, that we move beyond our planet, given the current state of the blue dot we live on?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to keep pushing those envelopes. I also think it's kind of written in our DNA as humankind, right? We want to explore. Think about all the different levels of exploration that you can think of in history, whether it's Mount Everest, whether it's crossing the Atlantic, whether it's, you know, going around Africa for the first time, right? All these different things. It's written in our DNA to try those things and to explore, because what it does for us as a humankind is it builds our knowledge. It grows our knowledge. It changes what we think. It changes the way we think about the world, and it changes the way we think about the universe. So to us, this push to move out further is more about that sense of discovery. You know, we're on a mission of discovery here, and what that leads to, we'll see, right?
Will there be a city on Mars? Is that the plan?
we don't have it in our current plans because it's going to take a while to get there. I mean, we're building the systems to get there. Ultimately, I would hope we would do that. But that's a hard challenge, very hard challenge, but that's what we do, right? That's why we take these challenges on.
One of the other big challenges that NASA investigates is climate change. It's not all about spaceships and rockets. It's about the nature of the planet and how it is changing. We would be led to believe, given the recent American decision on the Paris Climate Accord, that climate change is not important, and some in the administration might think that it's not actually happening. How real is climate change, in your opinion?
Well, for what we do in NASA is we have roughly 20 spacecraft on orbit today that help us understand all the different parts of the Earth's ecosystem, whether it's clouds, whether it's ocean weather, color, temperature, all the different things that come that. Our job is to provide the data. That's what we do. The 20 orbiting missions are there. We have what we call an airborne campaign where we put instruments on just a bunch of aircraft that fly over areas that we want to see what's happening. So our job in that arena, and our job continues to be, to provide that data to the decision makers so that they can make decisions on what we want to do from a policy perspective. So we're very engaged with that. We're very engaged with our international partners in bringing that data down so we can understand what's happening
here
on Earth.
Is the data straightforward,
yes,
and obvious that,
yes,
climate change is real?
The data coming down is real, right? And so we're very comfortable with the data that we're providing. And I think that's, for us, is what we should do as a science organization. We should just make sure we're providing the right data.
It's a difficult one, isn't it, for an agency that is a government agency to deal with. If there are people who don't think it's happening and you've data that says something different, it's a delicate line to walk, I suspect.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's that delicate at all. I think we look at it as a risk discussion. And I'm not a scientist. I'm an engineer by trade. And to me, when I think about engineering is all about capturing risk, right? What are the risks? And what you do is you put in systems to mitigate those risks, right? Mm. And so what we're trying to do is identify what are the risks. And sometimes risks occur. You know, we write the risk down. Sometimes they actually happen. Sometimes they don't.
And is climate change a risk?
I think we have to understand what's happening with the Earth, right? I really do. Sea level's rising, right? And you can debate why it's rising, but it's rising. The data says it's rising. And so those are the kind of things we have to pay attention to. And then the decision maker can decide what they want to do in those areas.
Looking further out into space, which you do, you've got lots of telescopes that look beyond, and we're forever hearing reports of NASA interpreting signals and things they don't quite understand yet. What's the current thinking on life beyond our planet?
Well, as you know, we have several missions that are looking out, as you said. One of the big, I guess, revolutionary areas here lately has been exoplanets. And these are the planets that we think live in a zone around their particular star.
The Goldilocks.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not too warm,
not too cold. Yeah. And we think they could harbor life, right? And so what we've been able to do with our instruments is actually start to develop or determine where those are. We just had a recent finding of potentially 10 more. That's our next big step. And when we put the James Webb Space Telescope up, which is our next big observatory that's going to be the successor to Hubble, right? That'll be in 2018. That's going to allow us to even look even further. And so our goal here is to start identifying those different potential planets out there. And then we decide, okay, what are we going to do? I mean, this is a long-term kind of discussion. But I think when you start seeing how many exoplanets we've discovered already, it's pretty interesting.
Are we going to have a problem in keeping interest levels up? Because Mars is going to happen, as you say, in the 20s. The ISS, the space station that is pretty much at the forefront of it now, when we've got how many astronauts and cosmonauts above us as we speak, that's going to come to a natural end. It will have reached the end of its lifespan. Is there going to be a gap between the ISS and the Mars mission? And is there a risk that, you know, we won't be in space for that period?
I think we're working really hard to not have that gap. That's actually one of the things that's why we're planning the systems now that we need to be flying in the early 2020s while the space station is still there. Today, the station is all our partners, all our international partners are good through 2024. But the mechanical structure of the space station, we believe, is good till 2028 or 2030. So we hope to have the systems in place that allow us to have this continuity. That's what we keep talking about, continuity of purpose in space. We need to be there, and we're doing everything we can not to gap it. I don't believe we'll gap it based on where we are today.
Okay. What would you say to all of the kids out there right now who are in second? A lot of them will have just finished their leaving cert, which is their final school exam. They're going to college next year. To them, this is beyond the pipe dream, that we've never had an Irish astronaut, we've never had an Irish person in space. What do you say to them?
I say this is the best job that you could ever have. Working in space and enjoying and learning is such a depth of understanding and learning that you get working in space, and trying to do, you know, I tell kids in the States, we want you to come join us because you know what? We're trying to make the impossible possible. And there's nothing better to be part of than you can imagine.
It's
right?
It's a pretty cool job, not going to lie. And Star Trek fan, were you?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. Star Wars?
Of course.
Yeah, good man. You'll enjoy both. All right. Absolute pleasure. Just one question there that has come in. The SLS and Orion and the future of crewed missions has come in a question there. So what's that? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the Space Launch System, which is SLS, is the system that's going to be used to allow us to take crews further than we have before. We're looking at flying that in 2019 with crew in 2022, and that'll be our workhorse that actually has several missions after that to allow us to take the parts and pieces we need to build that infrastructure that we need to make that deep space journey.
Do you get frustrated when you watch Hollywood movies that are out there about these deep space missions? There was the Alien, the most recent Alien movie. Do you watch that and go, nah?
Well, no, I think Hollywood is Hollywood. It's entertaining. I think it also does a great job in terms of, you know, inspiring the imagination. I mean, you think about what we're trying to do. We're trying to turn imagination into reality. And so you have to have those folks that are pushing the imagination so that we can come along and do the reality. And I love movies like The Martian and Interstellar and Gravity. They're just great movies. I just love them. And I think that's what keeps us kind of pushing forward. The reality is sometimes a little harder than Hollywood makes it look. And we recognize that every day. But it's an exciting time to be in our industry.
They're still great stories. Ones and the Hollywood ones. Robert Lightfoot Jr., NASA's acting administrator, thank you so much for coming in
for
and speaking
me,
to us today. Enjoy the rest of your time in Ireland.